Almighty God, our great Heavenly Father, we're thankful to thee for this privilege of appearing before this group who've gathered here to learn more about a better way of life. Yes, thou being our midst, guide and direct our thoughts, guide and direct what I may say. Whatever's said or whatever's done, may it be done towards thy honor and glory. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. First thing I want to invite you folks for, I want to thank you folks for inviting me down here. First thing I want to congratulate you on having as many here as you have on your first anniversary. I think it was on our 9th anniversary that we had over in Akron High that I heard Doc get up and make this statement. I never paid much attention to statistics about any kind of statistics about AA. It never made any particular difference to me who was first, second, third, or fourth. How many but I heard Doc get up and make this statement? He said that our first anniversary, we had 6. At the end of the year. Well, I didn't remember that. And he said that 4 of them were here tonight. That was on our 9th anniversary, he said, and 4 of them are here tonight. 1 of them dead, and 1 of them out of town, and couldn't be here. Well, I happen to know that a couple of them that were there had had a little trouble during those 9 years, but they were there that night and were sober. And so that's all we had on our first anniversary was 6, and of course, for several times, 6 here. And of course, when we had that anniversary, I certainly never expected to be down in North Canton talking to folks. And there were a lot of the other places where I have been and talking. We just had in mind that we'd get sober and stay sober. And to do that, we had to go out and take this program to a few people. And not to just go and stay sober ourselves, and that would be the end to it. Now, that's all I had in mind, I know, and I'm pretty positive that there wasn't anything much else in the mind of the others except to stay sober ourselves. That early thought has been worth quite a little bit for me. In 2 or 3 ways. I haven't felt any great responsibility about the movement being such a wonderful movement and all those great things is going to be done. I even had a woman after one of the meetings I was through. She come around. Oh, she had been a missionary in China for a long time. A very wonderful woman. Oh, she said, this is wonderful. She said, maybe this is the answer. This is the answer to world peace. And I said, well, I don't know. Anyhow, I hope that the answer to peace in a lot of homes around the nation where you sit down and fight with each other. Now you can carry it on over and make the world peace out of it, that's fine. But I have always had in mind that the main purpose of AA was to stay sober. And now there's a lot to AA, in my opinion, that's worth a lot more. And a lot in there outside of staying sober, but actually and honestly, I hope that we always keep sobriety as the main purpose of AA. Now, I know positively that that's the thing that we started out with, but to stay sober. Certainly, I've got a lot of things out of it further than that. One fellow even argued with me about not so long ago instead of sobriety had been the only thing he got. It just wouldn't have been worthwhile. And I said, well, I don't know about you, but I know about me. I said, the first last 6 months I drank, I was charged in the hospital 8 times. 6 months. 4 or 5 times, the low times I've been tied down on the bed here too before ever, you almost got it. And I said, my doctor told me I didn't have it 2 or 3 more, and I know I knew as well as he knew that I didn't have. He said, you get in such terrible shape that you're not going to make many more of them. And I knew it. And that was 16 years ago, and I'm still living and still feeling pretty good. In fact, just about a year ago, I had some sort of virus, and I stayed in bed 2 days. And the last guy told me to go to the doctor, but I think it's just a sort of a cold, and I don't want to be bothered with doctors. And, but I did finally go, and he told me, he said, you did. And I said, yeah, I know. But I came back and told my wife, she said, well, I kept wanting you to go to the doctor. She said, I knew you were sick. She said, That's the first time I've seen you stay in bed all day since you started in bed 15 years ago.
Which was the truth. I hadn't thought about it.
But I said that happened to me the last 6 months I've been. And I've had, since that time, day before yesterday, 4th day of July was when I came out of the hospital. Of course, I've been sober some 3 or 4 days then. And that was 16 years ago that I came out of the hospital, and I said I've had 8 or 10 years extra of life, I know, that have been good with good health. And then you tell me, I said that certainly was worthwhile. If I had never gotten anything more out of AA than that. That's it. I don't go to the hospital anymore and not go through all that hell and stuff that I went through with. And the fact that I've had that for a number of years, a good life is certainly worthwhile. If I had never gotten anything more, I did get a lot more out of it. There's a lot more in it. And I hope that folks will get it. But I still hope that we keep that provided for the main purpose of AA. And, you know, it's getting a little bit harder for me to lead a meeting right along. I think the reason for that is that I've been doing it for so long, and the most of you fellows know that I've been doing it for so long, and so you begin to wonder why in the devil I don't get any better than what I am. That makes it a little bit tough on me. Well, that might be good, too. Maybe then they'll sort of stop asking me. You know, I'm just talking. I think the first meeting that I went out of town to lead was over in Toledo, and I expect that was better than 10 years ago. Because I think it was about 2 years ago, I was over in Aiden, Michigan, and I was talking to big fellow there, and I said the first time I was ever over here in Toledo, he was up there from Toledo, and I said that was about 7 or 8 years, something like that ago. He said, well, I know exactly how long it's been. He said, I haven't been sober but about 3 weeks, and I was at that meeting, and I've been sober 8 years. So it's been better than 10 years, the first time, as far as I know, that I went out of town. And, I've been doing it, and as a lot of you fellows that's back there, it can do just as good a job as I can. And you ought to be up here leading this meeting instead of me, because you can do it just as well, and it will help you. Because in my opinion, there isn't anything much that helps a person more than leading the meeting. In fact, that was one of the main things that they had in mind when we started out. And when we went to the meeting in the early days, we didn't know when we went who was going to lead the meeting. We went and we had what we called quiet time, and during that quiet time, we was to open our minds with far instruction as to who we thought ought to lead the meeting that night. And then after we did that, to sat there in silence for 5 minutes, while then started around, and you think, and this fellow say this and this and that thing, and whoever happened to have the most, we finally joined and said, well, it's you. So he got up there and took charge of the meeting, and went ahead, and we didn't know until we got there who was going to do it. And that wouldn't be a bad idea to try out, in my opinion, every once in a while here. It'll help, fella. It might muck him up a little bit for a minute or two and get out, but we'll get over it. And I used to say when I started out that if no one was helped in the meeting except me, well, I certainly know I knew I would be by leading the meetings, it would help us. And this idea of these fine speakers and good speakers and so forth being called in, I never have been too much in favor of that, because I've seen some mighty good fellas take a licking on account of the fact that I'm very positive that idea that they were in demand quite a bit as speakers sort of began to go through up here to the top of their head a little bit, and they got a little proud of it. And frankly, as I watched 2 or 3 of them, and I was sort of wondering if that wasn't happening, then 1 or 2 of them certainly happened terribly bad to them. Now, that might not have had anything to do with it, but they did fall off and just sort of wondered. It's a little, now I'm not saying what I got up here to say. But it feels a little hard, you know. I was lucky. I've been lucky all the way through, eh? That's helped me out an awful lot. I never could feel particularly complimented by the reason the fact that they asked me, because they happened to ask me just because I happened to be the first person that Doc and Bill worked on and were successful with. I'm very positive that's the reason they asked me. rather than what I happened to say.
Well, I had no control over the fact that they happened to be the ones that
I happened to be the ones that they picked up first, so I never could feel that way about it. And that's been a help for me. But I remember one time I came in there and at home, and I'd been to a meeting. And, you know, I think for the meeting, you know, something getting sort of wrong with these meetings. And then I hardly up to par. And just, what's the matter? What's wrong? Ain't things happening here or something? I was rather low about how he was going. And I picked up a little book there and opened it like this. I just saw it laying there. It's my wife's magazine. I didn't know how to look at it. But I picked it up that night and pulled it open. Just a matter of luck. I never know. Pulled it open and I started reading. And, I never even looked at the heading. I don't know yet what the heading of the article was, but the part I read was, I'm a little kidding, tell you this, but it actually happened. A fellow said he went over to his neighbors and the fellow insisted on showing him about an hour or better of pictures, new pictures that he'd taken of he and his family around the house. Well, the man said, I had seen him day after day around there doing those same things, and I'd seen those rose bushes. And things in it really wasn't very interesting. It was rather boring to me, just trying to look at those pictures. And as it was over, he said, of course, naturally, to be polite, I had to say something. Said they had a little 8-year-old girl. Said I looked over at her. And I said, what part of the picture did you like the best? Well, she said, the part I was in, of course. She said, well, I do. And that changed my mind. Now, do you reckon that's sort of the matter? Maybe they sort of slipped up here. Maybe they haven't been paying you hardly as much attention. Maybe you haven't read as many meetings. In the last, I won't tell you this. I'm going to be ashamed of it. But it might help you. And I said to him, have they been paying as much attention to you as they should? Or something like that. That's the reason you finally heard. And when I analyzed it down, right down to the fact, I had to come to conclusion that possibly that might have had something to do with the fact that I thought those meetings weren't hardly entertaining as they had been, because I hadn't had the faithful attention that I maybe thought that I ought to have. Although I really never particularly wanted any faithful attention, because, and I told them over and over again, I don't, because I'm very positive. And if anybody else begins to set me up there as somebody to go by and lean on and give me special attention, why, the old devil, he'll start giving me special attention too. And I've had about all the attention from that boy for the last 16 years in all my life, and I really won't. Now, I don't say that in any sacrilegious way. I mean it. So he's always right after the fellow. And if he says, well, if I kick Bill out, I'd not have a dozen. Well, he'll concentrate on me, and I don't need any concentration. And that's neither here nor there. But I thought about that might happen. And, but the fact, as I mentioned a while ago, that if the idea of sobriety is the reason that we are primarily in AA, and the fact that I never expected any great world movements or anything like that to go out of it has helped me, because in that way I can go ahead and do AA and practice AA the same way it was taught to me, which I'm going to give it to you right in about, and it only takes me about 10 minutes to do that. That's what I ought to do, of course, and quit, but I keep on talking a long time to get up to it. And it helped me to go ahead and practice and talk AA just the way I learned it, without feeling too much responsibility of what's going to happen in the movement, and arguing with this bunch that wants to do it this way, and arguing with this bunch that wants to do it that way. And now there's quite a little bit of that, you know, that's going on around now. Some of them want it this way, and some of them want it the other way. And I told the fellow today, he came all the way down to Cleveland and bought my dinner to get me help with some things. He thought it was so-and-so, and I just told him, I said, now wait, I learned this AA one way. And I learned AA that the main purpose that I was in AA was not to save the world and not to save a lot of people, but to be filled out and sober. That's the main reason I'm in. To do that, I have to take this message to people. Now, from now on, they have to take over. I can't keep them sober. I shouldn't keep them sober. I couldn't save the world. I don't think I was expected to save the world. And the fact is, I can't think that you can find any place in the Bible, any place, where anybody was supposed to save anybody.
If you go back and read the four synoptic gospels, you'll find just four preachers. Jesus asked them, he said, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel. He never told you to save anybody. I even read in the paper today where that fellow ministered up down the long so he could save a lot of people, see. I don't think we do that, and I don't think we keep them sober. We can take them the message, but from there on, it's between them and this higher power as to what happened. And that's what I've been doing, is when they ask me to go around and tell folks, they program as they gave it to me and sometimes a few other things. I've noticed that I heard a fellow get up and say, and came through a Wednesday night, and it's the first time I heard him hit it that way. He said he stayed sober 7.5 years, and he got drunk and took him about 15 months to get sober back. Well, that was true. And I knew it. He was been sober, and he admitted that he said, I was a terribly intolerant son of a gun. He said, I just didn't have no damn use for these fellows that came in through AA and then quit. He said, I just couldn't see a problem. Well, I thank goodness I never had that kind of spirit. When he comes around and tells me, he said, oh, should I have a slip? I said, yeah, he just went out and got drunk. Just exactly the same way I did 100 times. That's right. You, I didn't. I went out and did it. Now, that's just what you did. No slip or anything else. Just like right over again. Of course, maybe it would look better to the outside world if we say we have a bird fellow that came around and said he belonged to me. I don't know what he belongs to me. And there wasn't any groaning or anything like that when I came in. And now I ramble around there and talk to you. It was, as I mentioned a while ago, it was 15 years ago, about the 26th of June, that I came to over there in the city hospital in half and a half. One Thursday morning, that's the only way in the world that I knew what particular day it was. I knew it was Wednesday and I went in there, and the only way in the world that I remembered a year or two later, that it was Wednesday was that I knew I started on Saturday. And the last time before that, that I had come out of the hospital, I told my wife, I said, for goodness sake, don't let me get this terrible sleep anymore before I get into the hospital. I said, that's been hell the last few times, I tell you. See if you can get me going to the hospital. Usually it took me about 10, 12 days from the time I took that lead up over there in the hospital, tied down. It took 10 or 12 days. A week of it out, round and round like that, in and out. And then the last week I was up there on the third floor in my home, so I was supposed to be out of town. If anybody come in, they wouldn't hear me up there. And I was laid up there in that bed on the third floor by myself, which wasn't my bedroom, it was on the second. But I'd go up there and hide, and every time I'd wake up, I'd just reach over and get the bottle, take another drink, and go back to sleep. And keep that up for about 4 or 5 days or a week. Finally, comes the day, you know, you've heard folks talk about throwing them up, you know, couldn't get them down in the morning, well, I'll throw them up like that. But that never made any sense or difference to me. Because I knew that if I kept on flowering, I'd finally get one that would stay down, Bessie. And, but, if you do that's what I talked to you just about doing, you spend about a week, drink, and then last week up there on the floor, just enough no ease to reach over, take the bottle, and go back to sleep. Finally, you wake up someday and look at it and say, now, you wouldn't do any good. You just wouldn't do any good. You fool with that now, wrong. It's going to do any good. Another day or so of this, you need to dance. So, got out of my wife, get a hold of the doctor. I didn't go to the hospital only for the 6 weeks, but the last 3 years, I think, I never got over one without having to call a doctor. Finally, son, when you look at it, you know it isn't going to do any good. Maybe another drink isn't going to do any good. You get so full and sick out of it. You wouldn't say anything about throwing it up, but you didn't know it isn't going to do any good. One minute you can turn and play it, then you have to do something about it. And so I told her not to let me get so bad the next time, so I started on Saturday. Now, isn't that odd? I remember just how I took that first night on Saturday. I went home early from the office, thinking that the stay's over. And then I got home and got upstairs to the house. And it was June, it was hot, and I got drier and drier. And I was a great place, and there was a place over there where they sold only liquor and wine and no whiskey. And Father to fool around now. I hadn't had a drink, Father, for a couple of weeks then, maybe. At least that long. But I was so nervous, and I wanted a drink. And I finally sold myself, and I sold my wife. Well, I don't guess I sold either one of us. I don't know. But I tried to tell her all the idea that I'd just run over there and have a cold glass of beer and come back. It was time for dinner, supper, whatever you call it, about 5 o'clock and half an hour. And it was about time to eat, and she had about ready. I'll just run over there, and I'll have a couple of cold bottles of beer, and I'll run right back. Needless, that way I won't get drunk. Now I know if I'm going to drink a couple of cold bottles of beer, damn if I'm going to eat right after, because that's just wasted. That's all right. I'm a little over there, so I ain't going to waste it to eat right after. But I really thought the fact could be done, see? And I guess I even told her I'll take the boy. He's about 8 or 9 years. I'll take the boy along. And to ensure the fact that I'm going to come back. And I don't guess I made her believe it, but she didn't. Anyhow, it went. And, of course, by 11 o'clock, she come over and got the boy. And took him home, and she didn't bother me. Of course, I stayed all night. As soon as he closed that up, I went looking for a bootleg dog. Was a soul of after hours. And found it. And stayed there and went home sometime the next day. And I told her, for goodness sake, don't let me get that dad anymore. So, somewhere or other, on Wednesday, she coaxed me into the hospital, and I went into the hospital. That's the reason I know it was Wednesday. I hadn't been drinking so long. And I wasn't so bad that morning. And so I came to there on Thursday morning, and my mind was fine, sir, because I'd only been drinking since Saturday. And so I looked around, and I realized where I am again. And I said, well, do you love me? And you've been here, even here, over in the people. This makes 8 times now in 6 months. And every time you woke up, because you went out of this hospital in this last 6 months, you went out of here fully determined in your own mind that you wasn't going to get drunk for the last 6 or 8 months. I don't think I said I was going to quit. But I went out of there fully determined that I wasn't going to be drunk for 6 or 8 months because I couldn't afford it. I was broke and wasn't going to be long for a wife and boy. It was going to be on charity, which would be terribly humiliating. And not only that, it was going to be, I was going to have to start panhandling and drink, and boy, that would be hell. I always felt for a panhandling. Because when I wanted a drink, I wanted it. I didn't want to have to go out and try to save somebody and spend half an hour trying to get a hold of a drink. I wanted it right then. And I didn't want to have to, now I have to picture myself out down there on the street trying to get a hold of enough money to go and buy me a drink and have to make maybe an hour or two when I'm deep. I want it like I would like that. And I just knew it would just be terrible. But anyhow, I come through there and I said, here you are. And you didn't intend to be here. Time after time, you've been doing this now here. And you're going out of here fully determined. You weren't going to get drunk anymore for 6 months. At least for 3 months. Until you got a little money in. And you got back a little self respect. Of your own and middle towards people, show that you can do something about it. What are you going to do about it? And I didn't know. No, I didn't know what to do. And that was all. Right then, the boy comes along and says, sit on this old top, we're going upstairs. Well, I didn't want to argue with him. I never did a mess. But he said, get on, I don't want to argue. And I ain't argued. I never seen him before. But he told me, yes, he's I. And finally, I asked him, how do you know me so well? He called me old top. I never saw you before in my life. He said, well, yeah, but I'm glad I was you over there in that emergency ward night after night. When they left you over there, they wouldn't take you up to the hospital, and they left you over there for me to wrap with you. And then, think I don't know you either. Why, I've never seen him before. I went to him, but I've been over there, but I didn't see him. And so up I went, and I got a friend, my wife was sitting down, and didn't cry to him. Well, I really didn't know what was happening. My wife would always come to us and sit down. Visit me. I don't know why she would, but she did. I remember she come walk in one morning with the doctor. I said, good morning, Doc. Good morning, honey. I've been awake just a few little while, you know. I found out 11 o'clock in the daylight. I knew it was 11 o'clock in the day. I kept looking around my wife, and I said, my girl, son's doing it. Sure. Sunscreen. Yeah, I said sunscreen. Good. Well, sunscreen. Good. I was a bad one about noon when I went in, you know. And she said, what time are you going to be? 11 o'clock. I knew that all because I just found out. Well, I know, but she said what day. Oh, I see. She said this is Monday. You can't count it. Well, I didn't know.
Now, where I've been all day from Saturday noon to Monday morning, 11 o'clock.
Well, I've been there.
I'll still got down, but I had no remembrance of it. Nothing that I remember. I thought it was still Sunday. She ought to be in church.
So she was sitting there, and I said hello, and she said hello.
And I let her do the talking. I didn't have anything to say. I was late, see. I just didn't have any answers. I didn't have any answers that morning.
Said, I've been talking to folks about your friends.
Well, I thought, thank God. Been a lot of talk around in our house about drinking. I need some church families come down there, and I need two or three preachers come down there playing with Wyatt about me. I wasn't one I was there, because I wouldn't listen to them. I didn't want to listen to them. I went to church, listened to what they had done, and what in the hell they wanted to listen to me about drinking. They never got drunk, and what would I listen to them? They tell me I ought to quit. I knew so much more about how I ought to quit than you. I knew more about how bad my finances were, and I knew that were hours of hell that I went through with, and I'd ask you not to tell me I ought to quit. What I want to do is, it's a pretty much told me how, but they tell me I ought to, you know. And also about me and how that I could, which I guess I knew probably was right. But it was so tough that way, I just couldn't make it. I just had to be daggone much better than I just knew I couldn't be that good. And of course, I was pretty much like the woman at the minister was trying to get to join the church. And finally she said, well, minister, she said, I'll join. But she said, you'll have to bear with me. You'll have to be easy. She said, I'm going to have a tough time. She said, you know, it seems strange, but she said, it seems like everything I like to do is either illegally immoral or fattening. She said, she said, it's going to be tough. So I guess I knew that was the answer, but I didn't know how to get it. That way, I didn't know how I could make it. I'd done a lot of praying about it, but as soon as I started praying about it, well, the ideas come up about cigarettes and little penny ante folks. And going to church shows, my church found on all those, and they wouldn't even permit me to smoke if I was up there in the basement tonight. I couldn't smoke there. I can get up and go out, like we always do when we have a social. Get up and go outside and outside the door and smoke. Well, I don't know whether anyone would smoke down there in the basement that would be outside there, just outside the door or not, I don't know. But all those things would bob up there, and I said, I don't know. I just can't. I know I won't be able to be that good. I've done a lot of praying about it, and all those little things would come up. And I said, yeah, yeah, Lord, I'll do that too. Sure, I'll do everything. But I'm a liar, and I know it. Finally, I said, well, there's no use in lying to the Lord. And praying for help, when you know you're lying, if you're not ready to do anything. So I quit praying, and that's when I sure did. Start sliding in because I didn't have anything to hold on to then, and I suddenly started getting me down this big path. But my wife said, I've been talking to a couple of fellows about your drinking. And I just thought that's fine. That's the way I got A. That's the way I'm telling you. Of course, it isn't all that way. It's sort of along that line, my opinion. And just telling you little things that happened to top of my mind that helped me. The next thing she said to me, says you don't quit. And I think, well, Lord, heaven, did you ever get any assurance like that? You must have hit a couple of bags on good sales. That makes you think, because you said a couple of men, that makes you think that I'm going to quit. I haven't heard you say that for a long, long time. She just didn't say anything about it. And she didn't hear me say I was going to quit. I always say, I'll have to cut this out. I'll have to cut this out, you know. I guess I knew I couldn't quit, so I didn't want to go back on my word, and I'd just go around to help her and maybe help myself, be saying that I'll have to cut it out. Knowing that I couldn't. I remember way back in 1960, and I know what year it was, because it was my junior year in the university, and because a certain boy was room with me at that time, and I had been terrible. I was terrible one the night before, and still was that morning, but sick. And I was sitting there on the bed, and I was a heaving and a gagging and a heaving and going off. And this little mountaineer, he was the worst drunk than I was. He looked over at me and said, why don't you quit? So I heard it. All you see him was noise. It was sad. He was funny. And I looked at him as funny as sick as I was. And I said, quit.
Well, yeah, he said, Pete, it's no trouble. I'll put thousands out.
Well, I said, you're going to see, said, you're going to quit. Well, now that helps. That influence that she had there, I said, I didn't have that influence. But the fact that she still could bleed in me and bleed in this program, or bleed if she had found something whereby I could quit, well, was a help. And she told me there were a couple of drunks. She said, like you are. I said, man, you've got the food there. It's a vintage. Other people have been coming around here. They come around here and help this poor weak sinner, me. They're all right, but they want to help me. And, but there's nothing wrong with them, but now here's a couple of 4 weeks sinners that's come to talk to me. They were, they're 4 weeks sinners, maybe she didn't say it that way, that's what came to my mind. Well, now that's bad. All these other people have been coming around here, they come around here and help this 4 weeks sinner, me. They're all right, but they want to help me. And, but there's nothing wrong with them, but now here's a couple of 4 weeks sinners that's come to talk to me. Well, now, that helped my decision quite a little bit. They admitted that they were just had the same licking as I had. Well, then, these people probably look down on me. Well, it's easy willpower. Yeah. You know, I've used my willpower, and you have too. Because when you get sober, you have a health spike put on, I guess. If I'd had sense enough, I could have bought that first drink. And easier than I could have fought it out there after I'd been drinking for a week or two. But finally, knew that I hadn't quit and just trying to fight it out. Now that's when you really got a real tough fight to put out. And I knew my preacher had never gone through that. Sitting there for a day or two, shaking and holding and fighting that out to get sober, get back in. Now that's tough job. I used to tell him all the time, I said, you know, it's always was kind of fun to get drunk, but hell get sober. That's what I got of myself. When I started to get sober, that was when my trouble started. And, but these fellas, they've had the same weakness as I have. Therefore, I wasn't going to put myself too much. Well, that's kind of put them down on my level. And then there was one other thing. She said, you're going to quit, that helped. Well, I didn't forget it. And I thank you for the time. From my own mind without saying something. My mind didn't have much time. But she went on, and I talked about the future and all that stuff. I had with my doctor, I'd had a regular doctor that's been helping me for 2 or 3 years. And he was a mighty nice fellow, and he was a minister too. And my wife and I talked to him about taking a cure. And he said it won't do Bill any good. Said he's a confirmed drunk at him, that's what he called. He said, I'll fool with them before. And he said, I'm a minister, and I'm a doctor. He said, I ought to have stuff after, but I don't have any. All in the world I can do is help him through this pain so he can get sober enough to get back to that place over a few days. We got a little work, and it won't be long. He'll be calling me again. I know it, because I've had him before, but I was pretty soon telling him to hell with him. I don't want to be fooled with him. He didn't me, but he's a good man of mine. Like my wife and his wife. Maybe it's more for her than it is for me. And I think, well, and I said, my wife. Next question, I said, well, what are they going to charge me? And I never forgot that answer. She said, you know, that's the strange thing about it. She said, that's what we've both been just friends for a long time now. I'm not knocking on church. I'm not doing that. But we had been, and have been constantly going, no, I didn't go too regular because I get drunk too often. But when I was sober enough, I went pretty drunk sometimes. To church. But, so I said, what are they going to charge me? She said, you know, that's the strange thing about it. She said, they weren't going to charge anything, but they said you couldn't pay them a cent if you had $1 million. And I think that's the guy went for. They ain't going to get no place that way.
But there's another thing, Don, and I'm not going to preach to you. You go out and handle it your way. See, I'm not going to tell you. Because if you don't get it right, and you get drunk, it's going to be you that's going to be taking out me. I'll sympathize with you, but I'd rather be you, see, because I don't want to try it anymore. I had enough. They wouldn't take a cent, but that worked if you had $1 million. You couldn't pay them for it. Well, that's the way it started out. Ain't no pay for. I'm not trying to fault anybody else, but that's the thing, that was one of the main things that helped me to believe that these fellows had something. Here were two fellows I'd never seen or heard tell of that was 4 week sinners just like I was, and they were willing to come over there and take their time and talk to me to show me a program whereby I could stay sober, and not only would they not charge me anything, but I couldn't pay them if I wanted to. That was really the first thing that came to me in AA. And I told my wife to come over. And they came over, and I could give me this program a long time ago. You see, there wasn't any book then. There wasn't any 12 steps. There wasn't any of this other nice little literature we have, some good and some not so good. And that we have around. And we didn't have any of those things. We just those two fellows there that said they wanted to get sober. And they thought they'd get on the program. And whereby they could stay sober, and the part of that program was that they had to bring it up to me, and I sort of forgot that last thing because they told me that was part of the program that they had to bring the thing to me. And here was the program. That there ain't no 12 steps. No, the 12 steps are all right. They're fine. And but I learned it the other way. They told me that I had to really want to quit. They said, if you don't want to quit, well, that's your privilege. Just go ahead and get drunk. That's all right. We know it's a chicken liquor. We want to stay sober. And to stay sober, we have a program, and to stay sober, we think we have to take that program to somebody else. Now, if you want to go out and get drunk and get sick and die down in this hospital like this, well, all right. We'll just right on out. We won't argue with you. That's your pretty privilege. Well, I said, them fellas, that's pretty rubbish about this thing. All these other fellas want to plead with me now. And they said, if you want to get drunk, okay, get drunk. But they said, we want to quit, and we'd like to see you quit. But we leave it to you if you want to quit. And they asked me, said, do you think you can quit by yourself? Well, that's a pretty hard answer. I'd always been pretty self-sufficient. Well, that's one thing, just as I was. And I had told a lot of fellows, I saw my cousin die before he was 27 years old from liquor that I used to run with. I held him in bed night after night. I saw him die. But I was smart. I wasn't going to let him do that. And he told me, he said, Bill, I don't want to get drunk like this. But he said, I can't help it. Well, I mean, this story's like a freezer. I thought we ain't using good sense. I told him, I said, you drinking too much too often. A lot of them asked me, he said, all these years about why you get the alcoholic. And I said, I don't know after hearing all those stories. I finally come to the conclusion the reason I became an alcoholic was that I drank too much whiskey too often over too long a period. I think that's what happened. Now, if I could avoid just one of those, maybe I wouldn't become an alcoholic, and I thought I was going to avoid them, but I kept on until I was as bad as he was. But I kept on as I saw fellas. I said, now when it starts doing me like that, well, I'm going to quit. Well, when I got out there, it didn't look hardly sad, and I said, well, that's pretty tough, but I do know when it starts doing me like this, now. Then I know I'm going to do something about it. Now, just right on, clear down the bottom. I just kept lowering the standards. Year after year, my standard got worse while I lowered it to, until I was clear down to the bottom. And as far as liquor was concerned, I hadn't been down in the jungle because I'd had little money left me, and I'd had some a few months before I got to bed, and so I got run out. And I kept fooling the banks. I was pretty slick at that. And so I had run me out longer, I would have been down there before. So they told me I had to have an honest cigar and we to quit. Well, I don't guess I want to quit. And oh my goodness, I have had enough. This time of getting drunk, there wasn't anything in that anymore. I sure was. I certainly, if I didn't want to quit drinking, I wanted to quit getting drunk and getting taken over to the hospital and tied down and put in jail and things like that. I mean, like that. And so they asked me then the next question whether I thought I could quit by myself, and that was pretty hard to answer. I hated to answer. I had a problem that I couldn't handle, a little silly thing like that, anyhow. Oh, gee, if I'd done that, I was going to it all my life. They said, now, if you can handle it by yourself, all right, then wiggle around, we'll look at somebody can't handle it. And said, we won't quit. And to do that, we got to fix this problem with somebody that wants to quit and knows that he can't quit. And we're just wasting time. If you don't want to quit, we're wasting time. If you don't think, if you think you can quit by yourself, that's fine. Just go ahead and quit. And they let me guys say these things over, and then they asked me another question. Said, do you believe in a higher power? I said, yes, I'm believing God, and I believe in the Bible. I never have lost faith. I know that's the answer, but how in the devil am I going to get it? Because I just can't be that good. I just can't. I said, I believe those things. What am I going to do about that? Well, they gave me some very good sense there. They said, well, now, let's, don't you think that this drink problem is causing you more trouble than anything else now? And don't you think that you're going to have about all that you can do to get rid of this drink problem? Don't you think it's going to use about all your time now getting rid of this? Well, I said, I wouldn't be surprised. I certainly haven't been doing very good at it. Well, he said, now let's concentrate on the drink, and we'll forget the cigarettes and the penny and the coke and the other little things like that for a while. You concentrate on this thing. And you work on that. Then after we get sort of straightened out on that, then you start thinking about some other things, and if you still think you'll get rid of that, well, then you start working on those. Well, no, I said, that's pretty good thing. Pretty good thing. So I said, all right, I believe in the Bible, believe in God, I know that's the answer, but I haven't been able to get it. Then the next question they asked me was, would I be willing in the presence of somebody else and sort of flip that? They don't use that exactly that way anymore, but they said, would you be willing in the presence of somebody else to go to this higher power, which to me was God, and admit that you have a problem that you can't handle and that you won't help? And they left me there studying home. I didn't want to quit. I had to realize that I couldn't do it by myself. I had to believe in some higher power that could help me, and I had to be willing to humble myself enough to go to that higher power and admit that I was. I had a problem that I couldn't handle and asked for help. And I stayed there on that old hospital bed, got no wind in July, and I put up a fire. I thought about all the things that I was going to have to give up if I made this surrender. Boy, the old road looked pretty clean and dark. I stayed up straight and out of the road. Sure looked really nice. I think, boy, I ain't never going to have no more fun. Yeah, that's right. I'm telling you the truth. I said, this ain't going to be no fun this life, dog. Oh, I know now. Yeah, the devil, he was fooling me, you know. He had them things. He knew what was holding me back. And he was using them things, you know. And I was still pretty worldly. I had a lot of worldly things, yes. So I went over all those things that they said to me, and I went over back over my life, things that I'd thrown away, material things, other things that I'd thrown away. The material things didn't worry me too much, and although I certainly didn't have any of them left, and the opportunities that I had didn't worry me too much. But I then began to think about the humiliation and sorrow and things that I had caused some other mighty fine people. My mother and my wife, my boy was getting old enough to know. And I just went back over what kind of a deal I'd been. And I can tell you the thing didn't look very nice. I've had an awful lot of people that have been awful nice to me. My dad and mother sent me to school and paid money. They didn't have to sort out something to do it, but I remember I knew that I was drunk back in 2017. My dad got killed in that year, and I was over in school, and I was drunk when they called on the telephone over there. I was pretty drunk, but I was handling it pretty good in those days. They brought him over there and left him and died. Well, to take him home, I had to take my father along with me. But I didn't get to go drunk. I was drunk mostly, I mean. Awful. And then I was my senior year in the university, and that was the first time I started to run. I knew all this ago. I said, well, now here's a chance. You're a drunk, and you know it. Now your dad left the mom here with two little kids, and she on a day before. Now you better stay home and talk to the mother. I'd look after your farm if the spring comes on everything February. And you better stay around here and help her. She just we had some hard hands. And this farm could have been thrown. I went to a farm road. But I made guys this week, and I'll go back to the university and finish the summer time. And I think that if I got away from school and stayed down on the farm, because through the summer I went home, I had to stay pretty. I did get drunk some, but I had to be pretty careful about Dad, because he sold me out and I wouldn't get no more money down to school, and I knew it. So when I got drunk around home on the farm, I had to be mighty careful about it. And I stayed around there. Then Mom said, well, all right, she'd rather go back to school. So I put bags and shoes and I stayed around there. Well, up in April, all part of April, and one day I'm talking to her in the room. And I wanted a drink, and I had my pocket. So I just kept in the other room. Of course, I always had that change, and I closed the door right in the thing. Pulled my bottle out and started taking a drink again. Well, she just opened the door and looked in. She stood back up at me, man, and come up crying. She said, are you a doctor? I said, yes, I guess I am. She said, well, I believe you as bad as her. Only already knew you wasn't really ill until the doctor told me. She said, I believe you as bad as you. Well, I said, almost now. She said, what are we going to do about it? I said, I don't know. Well, she said, I don't either. She said, your dad and I have been going through on that for 4 years. And all you've learned in the car is to be a doctor. I said, I guess that's right. I said, I'll go down and join you on. She gets over. Well, I won't go any that story. That was a long time ago. Mom, we had 13 years after I got sober. And I was awful glad. But I went back over and I'm going to make it. I could have quit already. I went back over all those things that I'd seen those people, and I said, boy, you sure have been a hero. You don't have very much left now. The rest of the time, you better start trying to do something about and make up for some of those things that you've done towards people. So I said, well, Lord, I've had enough of this. I don't want to get drunk anymore. I've had enough. According to what the doctor says and according to what I say, I don't have one anymore. Days around here, I'm pretty well wrecked from every standpoint in the world. I'm wrecked. I don't have very much left to turn over to you, but what I have left, I'm going to turn it over to you now. I'm not going to be the captain of the boat now, because, boy, I've been running this boat now for a long time. And I sure have made a wreck out of it. From now on, I'm going to try to find out each day and instructions from you. I'm not going to just, when I do even pray, tell you what all the things that I know. You know, there's another thing that I ought to quit. Some an awful lot of these tires. They're almost sacrilegious. For an hour sometimes, they'll tell the Lord what he ought to do. What they think the Lord he ought to do down there in the soil. They'll just try over and over again and tell the Lord what he ought to do all the time. He knows what to do. I'd like to spend a little more time asking the Lord that we might be worthy that we get some of these things that we're asking for. Like the woman told the little boy, he sat down and said he's crying. She said, Mother, how'd you like that? Well, she said that was pretty good, but she said, why don't you spend a little less time telling the Lord what to do and a little just report for duty and he'll let him tell you what to do. So I said, now, instead of going ahead and running this thing, telling you, come on, help me put this on and this over, I'm going to try to find out what you want me to do. I'm going to try to do it. I'm going to try to find out what your will is for me, and I'll do the best that I can to carry it out. I know I'm human, and I won't be able to do it all the time, but I'll keep on trying. If I fall down, I'll go back. Ask you again, because I don't want to drink anymore. I've had all this I want. I've just had all I want, and I won't quit. I had enough. And I'm going to rely entirely upon you. When that old talk about drink starts coming on, I ain't going to tell on that argument. Every time I started thinking about a drink when I was trying to stay dry and argument, I should have said it. And I could get more excuses somewhere other than why I should. Anyway, you were carrying on the other side of that argument about I should was sure a winner, because you nearly always get me. I said, Lord, when that argument comes up from now on, I'm going to turn that argument over to you, because that's one argument I always lost. And I'm going to let you handle that job, and I ain't going to even start an argument about it. I'll just say, well, now, here, you take this problem over. And I've had enough. I don't want to do this anymore. Anything that I have to give up or anything I have to do, I'm willing to do, and I meant it. I've said that before, but I didn't mean it, and I got wrong. So when these folks come back, I said, well, I've had enough. I don't want to get drunk sick anymore. And may as well do it, I'll have to admit that I can't do anything about it because I know I couldn't rather than going through this. I do believe in that higher power, and I already have gone to that higher power. And I ask for help, and I'm willing to do it again here or any place in the world. It doesn't make any difference. I'll never be ashamed to admit that I have to go and ask for that help any place where it might be. I've done that, and I'll do it again. I don't know whether I did. you know, whether I should it or not, but I told them I was willing to. They said, that's fine. Now, there's one other thing you got to do. You got to go out and take that same program to somebody else. And that's what I'm doing here tonight. I couldn't make it a lot shorter and quit. Not just you folks. And, but you know, these AAs get started talking. I went over to Asian Mission not so long ago. And as I went along, they told me this story. And it sort of did click, but I forget that once in a while. I said to this one, he probably got talked on and on, you know. The crowd got restless in China. He found it on the desk. There was a hammer, and they finally quieted him down. They got restless again. This fellow went on and on. He found him again. That's fine, quieted him down. They got restless again. He got sort of angry, and he hit the desk real hard. Walked over here, and hit this fellow sitting here in the front and tried to hit and knocked him out of the chair. Fellow sitting there buying these down right quick and grabbed him and picked him up. He said, are you hurt, young Johnson? He said, no, I'm still green. He said, hit me again. Now, that was the AAA guy's life, and that's the way I've been going out and telling him. I haven't had much to it because I'm sort of afraid to. It's been worth too much to me. It's meant those 8 or 10 years of my life. I know these last 8 or 10 years, and they've been with good health and so on. And so I certainly think an awful lot of it because I've heard an awful lot of people say that they were sober as a result of following that program of the 12 steps they were added in as we went along and sort of learned. You can take those 5 that I gave you and pretty much spread them out and make 12 out of them. And that was what was done. And I've heard so many people say that they were happy and believed in following that program. And I know that there's a lot of people out that are happy and homes and happy homes that otherwise would have been dead or they've been in asylum or they've been in jail tonight. And the program means a lot to me. And I certainly hope we keep it simple along that line. And if you read this, grapevine, and you'll see the first article in there by Paul DeGreef or whatever his name is. And he said he was an atheist, he wasn't a drunkard, but he learned. He said he was a naturally atheist. But he said by his association with AA, he has become to believe in God and pray. Now that's worth an awful lot for that man. That's worth an awful lot for him. And he said this is simplicity and the way that we went after. It brought him from complete atheism back to a place where he could pray to God. And I've heard so many people, so many places all around over the country say this. I came into AA solely for the purpose of survival, but it's been through AA that I have found God. And I know, and most of you know how well worthwhile that is. That's the reason I hope that people AA will hold them. I don't get angry because I don't feel too much responsibility myself. The only thing in this program that I have that's worthwhile that I can take the program on, that somebody gave to me, and whereby I have had the benefits of that, I can take it on and pass it to them and get it to them. But from now on, it's between them and that higher power, whether they make it or not. There isn't any question about that. You know, it's between them and their higher power, whether they're able to make it or not. And so for that reason, I don't get too much disturbed when I see these things breaking around because I'm very proud of the foundation. If the program is on a good, firm foundation and doing an awful lot of good for it to disintegrate and go along. And I thank you folks for being patient and listening to me for as long as you did. And thank you for inviting me down here and congratulate you on the number you have here in this your first anniversary, and I wish you a lot more good anniversaries and thanks.